No country can be well governed unless its citizens as a body keep religiously before their minds that they are the guardians of the law and that the law officers are only the machinery for its execution. They are nothing more. And that quote comes from Mark Twain. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Well, we are certainly facing some tumultuous times in the world today, folks. The last week has been full of events. The Occupy movement, which I spoke briefly about last week, has now reached out to cover around 2,000 cities around the globe. We saw some incredibly violent action in Melbourne, which is, of course, to be expected from Victorian police, because the Victorian police are perhaps the most unethical and violent police that we see anywhere in Australia and possibly anywhere in the Western world. They tend to act like blatant terrorists most of the time. They seem especially fond of baton-charging unarmed and peaceful crowds and seem to very much enjoy bashing young ladies over the heads with batons. And they are very willing to shoot people first and then ask questions later. We see more people murdered by police in Victoria than any other state in Australia. And having said that, of course, one must not forget police forces such as the Oakland police in the United States, who are seen using tear gas and flash grenades against peaceful protesters in acts of pure terrorism that are sanctioned by the United States government. And that's the thing, folks. It's very important to understand that these modern police officers are in fact domestic terrorists that are being used to repress any freedom that is left in our countries. You see, we have the problem that these corrupt politicians enact these corrupt statutes and trick people into believing they're real. But the real problem that we face is that the police officers go out and enforce these statutes upon people. And these statutes aren't law, folks. They're simply statutes. They're simply legislation. And all legislation is designed to do is to remove actual law from the face of the planet. And any police officer who enforces a statute against any member of mankind is actually failing to differentiate between a statute and a law, which is gross negligence and equal to fraud. So the question must be asked, who is actually breaking the law in these cases? And the answer is the police officers themselves. By enforcing statutes upon people, they are in fact breaking actual law. So do not be fooled by thinking these people are acting within the constraints of the law and that they are doing the right thing, because they're not. They are acting like terrorists and they are enforcing non-existent contracts against people, because all they're doing is acting within the parameters of corporate law, which is contract law and has nothing to do with actual law. And the only thing that's going to stop this from happening and will remedy this situation is if people actually stand up to implement the changes we need on this planet themselves. And that can only be done through a united community. And of course, the community will only ever unite once people break down the barriers they have between themselves and their neighbours. And of course, that will only happen once they face that inner fear that exists within their own hearts. We've also seen NBC put forth an article regarding the Vatican, claiming that it's virtually on the side of the Occupy movement and calling for a new global banking system. And this is something that I mentioned last week, folks, that you need to be very careful to watch out for who is going to attempt to co-opt these movements and what direction they are attempting to lead the movements in. And of course, it isn't without a certain touch of irony that we see the first attempt at co-opting this movement put forth by the Vatican when they're claiming that we need to fix the global monetary system. And this really is, of course, quite remarkable when one considers that it was the Vatican itself that created the Crown Corporation and who is responsible for the current global situation that has been implemented via control of the money system. So what we see here is the Vatican now stepping up to further centralize the power that it created when it installed central banks around the world via the Crown Corporation. The Vatican really is the most dishonest organization on the planet, possibly the most satanic organization on the planet as well, and I'm not one who really gets into the devil and Satan type of thing, but the people in the Vatican most certainly do, as can be clearly evidenced by their actions and by all the paraphernalia and carvings and insignia and general idolatry that they tend to gather around them. And of course, creating a global central bank and further centralizing the money system is absolutely the opposite of what needs to be done in order to fix the global economic situation. And this is, of course, what one would expect from the Vatican. And as I said last week, you're going to see lots of would-be tyrants and would-be dictators step up to the plate in order to attempt to co-opt the movement and lead it down the path they would like it to go, to establish more power for themselves. I mean, apart from the fact of realizing that the economy itself is fake, the real steps that need to be taken are to diversify the global economy, allow each country to print their own currency, and allow the control of that currency to remain in the hands of government rather than in the hands of banking cartels, which impose a system based on interest-bearing debt, because it is the interest-bearing debt economy that has created the global situation, because it's designed to keep people in a perpetual state of shortage rather than in their natural state of abundance. And that's something that the Occupy movement needs to keep very clearly at the forefront, is that they need to address the monetary system itself. They need to put forth demands that they cancel all debt, take the interest off money, and ban fractional reserve banking. I did see an article that put forth a list of 10 demands by the Occupy movement, and this was quite a disturbing document as well, as it all seemed to point towards globalization and a restructuring of the current political system. And we don't want the current political system restructured, folks. We want it dismantled completely. We need to put the government back in their correct position as public trustees, and we need them to act purely as the administrative arm of the people to ensure that we have functional infrastructure for our society. That's basically all we need government to do. And this really does need to be kept clearly at the forefront of the Occupy movement if it is ever going to go anywhere. Otherwise, the Occupy movement will be co-opted and it will be used to bring about the New World Order that everybody is speaking out against if the money system is not kept clearly at the forefront of issues that need to be dealt with. And we don't need a restructuring of global economy. We don't need more centralization of power. What we need is an interest-free money system that is not privately run. And in other global events, there have been some things that have been particularly disturbing. I refer, of course, to the death of Gaddafi, or should I say the murder of Gaddafi by some young NATO puppets. We also saw the extremely disturbing response to the murder of Gaddafi by Hillary Clinton, who literally could not contain her glee and was chuckling and clapping her hands together and saying, "We came, we saw, he died," and literally celebrating the murder of another human being. Of course, Hillary Clinton showed herself to be the bloodthirsty, cold-hearted travesty of humanity that she is, by her response, and one can only hope that she gets her just desserts one day. Actually, I think a stint in Guantanamo Bay would be the best thing that could happen to Hillary Clinton. It might wake her up to reality a little bit, or at least cause her to lose some of that excess weight she's carrying around. And I don't really like to say bad things about people, folks, but in regard to Hillary Clinton, well, in all honesty, I really don't think I've ever seen a more immoral and sadistic response to murder in my entire life. It was very, very disturbing to think that this insane lunatic who praises murder the way Hillary Clinton does is actually in a position where she is making decisions that affect the lives of other people. And with people like Hillary Clinton at the helm, it is certainly no wonder that the United States finds itself in the very precarious position that it is currently in, and that it has been placed in by the politicians, the public trustees, who are all acting in breach of the trust that's been granted to them by the American people. So I suppose seeing her response is educational, if nothing else, because it is very demonstrative of the type of murderous psychopaths that are in control of the United States. And folks, don't be fooled into thinking that what happened in Libya was a war, or that it was a liberation struggle, or that it was done to overthrow a tyrant, because it was none of those things. It was actually a state-sponsored invasion of a sovereign land, coupled with a massacre of innocent people under the guise of NATO intervention. And it wasn't the overthrow of tyranny. It was a state-sponsored, unlawful assassination of a legitimate leader within his own borders and the seizure of the country's assets. Very interestingly, the situation in Libya before the overthrow of Gaddafi, we had electricity and water that was supplied free for residential units. A litre of petrol actually cost anywhere from 8 to 14 cents for Libyan people. Of course, the country was debt-free and there was no tax that was imposed upon the people. Libyan students who studied abroad received a salary from the Libyan government of 1,627 euros. And each one of those students who finished their university training would receive a salary from the Libyan government until they found a job. Each Libyan family also received 300 euros monthly as long as they were registered with the government. And when a Libyan gets married, they receive 50,000 euros and 150 square meters of land in order to start building their life with. So it will be interesting to see the improvements that the United Nations and the United States of banking cartels wish to offer to the Libyan people to improve the terrible tyranny that they saved them from under Gaddafi's government. Very notably, Gaddafi was also in the process of implementing his own interest-free currency for Libya and stepping away from the International Monetary Fund altogether, which is, of course, why the country was suddenly invaded. And it's always this way, folks. As I said a few years ago in one of my first films, very interesting to note that every country that is named as part of the Axis of Evil by the United States happens to be every country that has shunned the IMF and does not have an IMF-controlled central bank. And so that's why these countries are invaded all the time, folks. That's why the United States and the United Nations is now speaking out against Syria, now that it has murdered Gaddafi. Because these people are nothing if not predictable, folks, and it's very, very obvious what is actually going on here. And that is not to free anyone, but rather to enslave them to a corrupt central banking system that is run by the cartels that have been put in place by the Vatican. And folks, look, actually, I've been investigating this entire global situation for a number of years now, as have many other people. And I can state with absolute certainty that all roads lead to Rome. They seriously do. Actually, the work of a countryman of mine by the name of Santos Bonacci, I recommend that you look at his work as to the astro-theological evidence to support this as well, because all roads truly do lead to Rome. And as Santos says, this can be clearly seen by the fact that the Roman calendar exists all around the world. And this calendar, folks, it has nothing to do with actual time. It's completely alien to everything about the earth. It doesn't make sense at all that we should even be following a calendar such as this. And this is the Roman calendar that was put in place first by means of the Julian calendar, and later by means of the Gregorian calendar, which was virtually an update of the Julian calendar. And these were put in place by Rome, and this is our entire understanding of reality is based on the calendar. We actually believe that everything to do with our Earth involves the time it takes for one little sphere in space, namely the Earth, to orbit another sphere in space, the Sun, and that this is how time works. When really, if you look at things, in actual fact, the Earth doesn't even strictly orbit the Sun. It's sort of corkscrewing around it because the Sun is moving at an incredible pace through the galaxy, and the galaxy is moving at an incredible pace through the universe. So nothing exists in the manner of the flat orbital plane that we are presented with as the model of our solar system. It's actually this huge corkscrewing affair that's going on all the time. And folks, all roads lead to Rome. It's not the Jews that are the problem. So the Jews have been set up as the scapegoats. You know, the Semitic Jews, the actual Jews, are the most downtrodden people in all of Israel. And who is doing it are actually Khazars. They are Khazarians. I spoke about this about a year ago on a show, and I mentioned that the Khazarians are the ones who are in control of all this. The Khazarian Empire suddenly adopted the Judaic faith somewhere around 700 or 800 AD, I think. And these are Western Europeans. They are white-skinned Western European people who usurped the Jewish faith and basically took over the whole Jewish system. And they are not Semitic. That's why speaking out against people such as Netanyahu and being called anti-Semitic for doing so is a complete joke, because these people are not Semitic. And Semitic basically means a Middle Eastern person. Arabs are Semitic, as well as Jews, because these races are actually related to each other. Jews, Palestinians, Arabs, I mean, they're all related to each other, folks. And this whole stigma that's been set up around the Jewish faith to blame the Jews for everything has been put in place by the Khazarians, because they've usurped the Jewish faith, and they're the ones that are creating all the problems, and so it looks like it's the Jews, but it's not the Jews, because they're not Jews. There is no Jewish race. It's a religion. There is no Christian race. There is no Islamic race. It's a religion. The Jews are actually Semitic, the same as the Arabs. They all come from the same place. And the reason the Jews never had a country is because it's not a race. It's a faith. It's simply a faith among Semitic people. Some Semites are Islamic. Some are Jews. Some are Christians. Some are probably Hindu. But this whole thing's been set up by the Khazarian bloodlines. And the Khazarian bloodline is who runs the Vatican. The Khazarian bloodline is also in the ruling elite. The Merovingian lines and the Habsburgs et al. These are all Khazarian bloodlines. Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, all Khazars. The Rothschilds, they're Khazars. All of them are Khazarians, whether they be Jews or not. These are the people who set up the three city states, and I've been talking to you about the three city states ever since my first film back in 2008. The Vatican for spiritual control, the City of London for monetary control, and the District of Columbia for military control. And these three city states are all run by the same force. This is the Khazarian Empire, the Khazarian lines that control the Vatican and the other city states. You see, the Vatican is like the brains and the mind of the operation, whereas the other two city-states basically set up the central nervous system. And these people have literally rewritten history, folks. They've taken everything we need to know about history away from us. They have completely perverted everything that is true in the world. They've counterfeited truth into lies and presented it to the world. And I mean, this is something that I attempted to bring to you in my book that I wrote way back in 2004 or 2005, which was simply an examination of history. Because there's all of this stuff lying all over the planet, which tells a completely different story to what we are presented with as fact from our academic systems and our education systems, from our government, from everybody. So everything that is true about our past, about who we are and what we should be doing on this earth has been taken from us. And then the Vatican went out and it destroyed every single culture around the world which told a different story. And I've been telling you about this for a very long time, folks, and it's important that people really see what's going on here and stop the division. Stop the division amongst all of these peoples. Stop hating the Jews. Stop hating the Libyans. Stop hating the blacks or the whites or whoever it is that you hate. Just see people as people, because we are all in this together. Every single race on earth is facing the same situation. And what we are facing is a completely totalitarian system that has been put in place through the perpetuation of fear. So it's really important that we see this. It's really important that we really look at what's going on. And sure, it's all been put in place by the Vatican and these Khazarian lines. And what these Khazarian lines have done is they've gone and stirred up as much trouble and tension and division around the world as possible in order that they may rape all of the resources and impose a totalitarian system of control. This has been an ongoing thing for hundreds of years, folks, and they are very close to pulling it off. Order ab chao, order out of chaos. So the human race really has to wake up to what's going on here. So you've got to stop hating people, and you've got to stop looking for someone else to come and save you, whether it be a savior or aliens or ascension or even a new form of government. You have to step up to the plate and govern yourself. Follow the one law of creation. Serve the creation. And do no harm to anything in the world. No harm to anybody around you. Do not cause any pain or misfortune or loss or hardship for any other person on the planet. Live your life to do no harm. And that should be the whole of the law. We need to remove this division that we have with each other. We need to remove our governments from the positions of power that they think they hold and put them back into their position as public trustees, administrating our infrastructure for us. And that's how we change the world. And we've got to do it quickly, folks, because things are getting pretty desperate. I mean, look at what just happened in Libya. And then we've got Miss Piggy in the form of Hillary Clinton chuckling about it like some deranged psychopath who is literally unable to contain her joy at the sadistic way in which this man was killed and the control that they now have over another country. And then you have the Vatican saying it supports the Occupy movement and we need to introduce a global central bank. I mean, folks, things are getting pretty tight. So we have to break down this fear that we have with other people. We have to stop the hatred. Stop the racism. Stop looking for someone to blame and realize that it is the system itself that is to blame. If you really want to get into the whole mechanism of it, you've just got to look at the three city states. There it is. It's all there right for you to see. It's run by the three city states. They've got the money system out there that enslaves everybody to a state of permanent debt so everyone's on the treadmill and doesn't notice what's going on around them. They're raping the resources of the entire planet. God knows where it's all going, but we don't seem to be using it all. And there you go, that's the whole thing, that's what's happening. And the reason it's happening is because we don't realize that we're actually living in an open-air prison. We're living in a very low-security prison. That's all our societies are. We are actually living in functional, rotational dictatorships. That's what we are living in. America is a dictatorship, Australia is a dictatorship, England is a dictatorship. We just vote in new CEOs of the corporation every few years, but we are actually living in a dictatorship where you have a system that uses terrorism to enforce statute law upon mankind when none of this law is applicable to mankind. It's all simply legislation that's given the power of law through consent of the governed. And we allow this to happen because we just don't know what's going on. But what police officers do, they don't protect society. They simply enforce statute legislation upon people, and they use terrorism and fear to do so. They do not serve and protect society in any way at all. I mean, sure, there are good police officers and there are things that the police do that we need done. They go to traffic accidents. They do stop domestic violence. They do some stuff, which is good. But this is just stuff that's on the surface. This is what we expect them to do. This is what we employ them to do. But it's just stuff on the surface to cover up what they actually do, which is impose the will of a very small handful of individuals upon the rest of mankind. They use statute legislation to do it, and they do it because they do not understand how the system works. They don't even understand who they're working for. Many of them don't even understand that statutes are not laws. They are simply legislation. So it's a serious situation that we're facing, folks. Police need to be put in place to be the protectors of society, the protectors of the people of the world. And as I said before, there are some good police officers and they do perform some duties that we need them to perform, such as stopping domestic violence and things like that, preventing crime. But most of these crimes occur, again, because of the system itself. Because the system is designed to manufacture scarcity and keep people in a state of fear and shortage. And when you put people in that situation, you get crime. And again, this has all been put in place by the very, very same people that put everything else in place, folks. And the only way we're ever going to fix it is to face that fear in ourselves that keeps us divided from those around us. To do no harm and to start following the one law of creation. I mean, ultimately, a proper education system would probably be a great boon to society, but that's something that we certainly don't see. Because what we have in its place is actually an indoctrination system which teaches a completely false reality to the entire world. And I think it's about break time, folks, so I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. Welcome back, folks. Now, as I was saying before the break, the democratic systems that we have set up around the world are, in fact, little more than functional rotational dictatorships in which we, the debt slaves, get to elect a new CEO or new group of slave masters every few years. And this can be clearly seen by the fact that nothing ever really changes. It doesn't matter which side of the coin gets in. It doesn't matter whether it's Republican or Democrat or Liberal or Labor or whatever two factions you have in place in your country. What you find is that there are small changes in policy, but ultimately the same agenda always goes through. For example, the Labor government that we have in power in Australia at the moment actually came to power because the opposition, the Liberal government, had planned to introduce carbon tax. This was one of the main reasons people voted Labor, because the people simply don't want carbon tax. And so what we find after the Labor government got in was they introduced carbon tax, even though part of their election premise was that they were not going to do such a thing. So it doesn't really matter, folks. They say whatever they want to say in order to get elected, but then the same agenda always goes forward. The government ends up expanding, and society slowly plods along in the general direction of complete totalitarianism. And this has been happening for quite a long time, and it's getting more and more compounded with each election, regardless of who comes into power. And this should be a little bit of a sign for people, folks, because the agenda simply never changes. It always moves steadily in the same direction, which is more and more totalitarianism, more and more centralized power, and larger government. And remember that these politicians take office after swearing an oath to serve the people of their country. And yet, again, in Australia, for example, we find 83% of Australians saying they don't want carbon tax as it's being introduced. We have the entire country up in arms about fracking and coal seam gas mining at the moment. People are saying they absolutely do not want this in this country. And yet we see the government putting in a huge infrastructure. And what they're doing over in the Kimberley, folks, is absolutely shocking. What they are doing to this pristine landscape in the Kimberley, do you think, oh, they're just putting in a little pipeline? Well, no, folks, they're putting in this huge infrastructure. And when you see it, it almost looks like a circuit board, what they're putting through the scrub out there. It just shows how left-brain these people are and how inorganic this whole thing actually is. Though, of course, there could be nothing organic or nothing normal or nothing even sane about endangering the water table in your nation in order to extract coal seam gas from the crust of the earth, even though we don't need this stuff at all. I mean, if energy is the problem, there have been over 600 free energy patents that have been suppressed. So I suggest they simply release some of those rather than raping the world to continue to support an economic system that is based on interest-bearing debt and is destined to crash as soon as all the resources have been exhausted. And what's the point of that, folks? What's the point of supporting an economic system that demands the extraction of every resource this planet has at the expense of all life on the planet? That's what I'm seeing here, and that's why I continually point out the fact that the politicians that are supporting this system are psychopathic. They are absolutely psychopathic. Either that or they simply don't know what they're doing and they're completely insane, but the fact that they do this with such malice and such disregard for their people, and that they sit there and grow fat on the destruction that they're creating, tends me to believe that they are actually psychopathic. Every last one of them. And if they're not, then they're probably not in a position where they get to make any relevant decisions, because by looking at things, it would appear that only the psychopaths actually make it to any position of real power. And folks, the way they get away with this, and I've said this before as well, is that they create societies that actually breed sociopathic people, so that everybody is always looking out for number one. Everybody only really cares about themselves. And they create social divisions so that the rich look down upon the poor. And then through this economic system, slowly they make everybody poor. But as the system is slowly destroying more and more lives as it progresses up the food chain, those at the top will never look down or reach out to help those below them because of this division that's been created. But it's very rare to find people that actually realize this is happening and this is what they're doing, because each one of these people is trapped in false ego and believes that it can never really happen to them. But then, again, we see everything just multiplying and everything just snowballing. Electricity here in Australia is now about four times as much as what it was 5 years ago. And it's getting to the stage where it's impossible for people on a normal wage to live in a house and pay the electricity. So these people get discarded. And you find people have to share and you have to cram four or five people or two families into one house because nobody can afford to maintain a house on their own, because rents are just absolutely absurd, not to mention the price of the electricity and the price of the water and the price of all the basic needs and basic commodities that we should have as basic human rights. I mean, we should have a system that provides housing, food, water, electricity. All of these sorts of basic needs should be provided to the people free. That should be the function of government. But we're seeing exactly the opposite. We are seeing all of these basic needs of life reaching these exorbitant costs. And so more and more people get discarded along the way. And eventually it will be impossible for anybody but the elite to live in a decent place. And we will still be pulling these enormous amounts of resources out of the ground in order to boost our economy. And yet to do so, all the people will be forced to live in abject poverty. It doesn't matter where you are on the food chain, folks. Eventually, this system is coming for you, because that's what it's designed to do. And this is never going to change until people actually realize what's going on here and start standing up for each other, start standing up against this system. This is what we've been seeing with the Occupy movements, but unfortunately even this is being co-opted, and I would suggest that it was probably put in place to do exactly what it's doing. And it's very easy to grab people's attention and to start a big movement and to get people to participate in it, but the people have to have clear objectives in mind. They have to have a clear understanding of what they're getting involved in, because these Occupy movements really do seem to be leading towards globalization. I'm actually going up to Brisbane to speak at Occupy Brisbane because I would like to attempt to present a different perspective to the people there in the hope that they can get it out to more of the Occupy groups around the world, because they really do need to look at what's going on here and to maintain their focus on the core issues that they need to be addressing, which is the monetary system and the fact that our public trustees are acting in breach of trust, and we need to put governments back in their correct position in the social hierarchy, which is certainly not that of leadership, but rather one of infrastructure administration. I mean, I've been telling you about all this for so long now, folks, and I keep repeating myself on these radio shows in the hope that the message may get through to a few more people, but frankly, I'm just not seeing a lot of people actually getting it. Even some of the people around me that I perceive to be awake certainly don't seem to be awake. Everybody still has stuff with everybody else. And the only way we're ever going to fix things is if we can get rid of that stuff. We've got to break down those barriers. Forgive people that you believe have wronged you. And I know it's hard to do, but that's what needs to be done. Because if we don't have community to depend on, and we don't realize that we are all in the same boat, and that all the misery that may have been caused for us by those around us, or any misery we may have caused to those around us, is all a product of the system itself. Until we realize this and we decide to put it all behind us and then step forward into this new world, the new world will never be created. Well, one will be created, but it will be a new world order and not the type of new world that we actually need. And everything's falling into place, folks. In Europe, we're seeing a new European treaty to be signed, which is going to take more rights away from the people in Europe and the countries in Europe and further centralize the control mechanism. We're seeing the co-opting of the Occupy movements, and we're seeing the Vatican call for a World Bank. We're seeing the massive amounts of destruction that are being wrought in our countries. What's going on here in Australia, folks, is absolutely shocking. In another 10 or 15 years, there will be no Australia. If the government has their way, then all that will exist in this country will be one huge gas mine with a bunch of gas workers all drinking recycled water. And this is all happening because of our failure to get rid of the stuff we have with those around us and to unite as one people. It's happening because collectively the population refuses to face that shadow that exists within their hearts and stand up and be counted, stand up as part of mankind. Realize that that's who we all are, is mankind. And these governments, these psychopathic lunatics that are destroying the world, these are simply people, the same as us. And we, the population, do not have to do what these people tell us to do. In fact, they have to do what we tell them to do. But they don't do it because one voice cannot make them do so. It takes the entire population to stand up and say that we have had enough, and we wish to take this planet and this species in a different direction to that which it is currently going. And that doesn't happen because the population in general is too busy having stuff with people around them, too busy trying to climb up rungs on the social ladder, too busy trying to feed their own egos, too busy trying to measure up to the yardsticks that are provided to them by the television and to be that which they can never be, to actually notice what's going on around them. Either that or they're too busy playing games or watching movies or chasing paper to ever want to bother. Divide and conquer, folks, is the motto, and that is exactly what we see in our world today. Frankly, I wonder how much longer I will even keep doing these radio shows, to be honest, because I've said all that I can say to the people of the world. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, people can simply go to the Crow House and play any one of 160 radio shows that I've done talking about this same issue. over the last 3 years. And it's getting to the stage where I can barely afford to keep doing this anyway. Plus, I would very much like to be able to put some time into finishing the new film. I'm really having a lot of difficulty finding the time to actually sit down and work on it. And I'm not saying that I'm quitting, folks. I'm just suggesting that maybe I've said all that I can really say. If people aren't going to begin to act on it, then at least the information is out there and perhaps they will one day. But in the meantime, all I can really do is get on with my own life and hopefully lead by example. All I've really done in these radio shows, folks, all I've ever really wanted to do and all I've attempted to do is to offer people my perspective on what reality is and what's going on and how things may be changed. It's up to the individual themselves whether they choose to take the information on and apply it to their own lives. I know the difference that it's made to mine, which has been remarkable. And that's why I have continued to offer this perspective to others in the hope that it may help people with some of the stuff they're dealing with, and it may help people see how easily we could actually change the direction in which the ship of state is sailing and change the direction that all life on this planet is taking. But as I said, all I can do is offer my perspective. It's up to the people themselves to step up to the plate and to want to change things. And until people decide to do that, nothing will ever change. I've attempted to simply open doorways with people and hope that they walk through. I've attempted to offer a perspective so that people may discover these truths for themselves, because real truth is not taught, it is realized. And when people do discover the realities of our world and they do realize the truth of our situation, it can be very empowering and it can change people's lives completely. And when looking at the situation we're facing, there is a certain urgency in them doing so. But it only really works when people discover these truths for themselves. It has to be a personal thing. It cannot be told or taught or learnt by people. It's like trust law. I've received so many letters regarding trust law. How do I fill out the templates? How do I fill out the letter? What do I say? And folks, like I've said before, trust law is in your heart. If you don't know that you're free, then no piece of paper you can fill out, no form you can send in to anybody is going to establish that freedom for you. You have to know it in your heart. I already know who I am. I am man. And I'm quite prepared to die standing as man. I will not take a backward step to this system. I will not comply with anything this system wants me to do if it is detrimental to anything else that exists on this planet. If it is detrimental to any life at all, or the well-being of anything, then I simply will not comply, because that is who I am. That is who I've always been. I've managed to get through to 54 years old this week, and I've never complied with this system. I've never voted. I live in a country where voting is compulsory, and yet I've never voted. Occasionally they come around to my door every few years and say, I believe someone who lives here is not registered on the electoral roll, and I say, yes, that's true, it's me. I'm not registered. They ask, what is your excuse for not being registered? And I say, I refuse to support organized crime. Is there anything else I can do for you? If not, please go away. And I close the door. And I never hear anything back from them. I never receive any fines. I never receive a peep from them until a few years later when a new worker will come around and say, I believe there's someone living at this residence who is not registered to vote. And I go through the same process again. I don't fill out census forms. I don't comply with this system in any way. Sure, I have a driver's license and registration on my car because I simply cannot see the point in getting into an argument with 10 police officers a day who do not understand law and do not understand freedom and do not understand reality in an attempt to tell them why I am not displaying the insignia they demand that I display, because otherwise you just spend your life arguing with police officers who are completely brain dead and have no clue what you're talking about. As I've said, folks, these people are not employed for their intelligence. And so, yeah, I have a license and registration simply because it's just not worth the hassle. But as soon as enough people wake up to what's going on in reality and wake up to how this world is being run, perhaps I can do away with those things as well. My sister has, actually. She is out there traveling around Australia. She has her own plates on her car and she has cancelled her license. And I'm very proud of her for doing so. I said to her, you know, you're going to have to deal with lots and lots of police officers who are not going to understand this stuff. And she said, that's okay. She's prepared to do it. She doesn't care if she gets stopped 10 times a day. She's quite happy to sit there and deal with it because she wants to prove the point that she's a free woman. And I totally respect her for that, but I simply don't have the time myself. I'm too busy attempting to wake up the rest of the world, or at least to offer some type of positive perspective to those who are awakening and those who are choosing to stand up against this system, such as those in the Occupy movement. It's very important that people pay attention to what is going on and keep their minds focused on the fact that they are actually free and that they do not need ruling by someone else, that they do not need a more centralized banking system. What humanity is a huge diversity of consciousness, and that's what our society and social systems should nurture. Diversity. As much diversity as possible, because every single person that exists in reality is completely unique to everybody else. And the greatest times in the human experience have always been when there has been the greatest amount of diversity in culture and diversity amongst humanity. This is when great things are discovered and great things are invented. But when everyone is required to be uniform and to walk within the lines and behave in a certain way, then all creative growth stops. All creative input into reality stops. All creative consciousness stops. All conscious evolution stops. Everything stops, folks. It all ceases and it becomes a regimented robot-type society. And that's where we're heading. And we're heading that way because people are remaining divided from each other. They're hanging on to that stuff they have with other people, the stuff that is non-existent, the stuff that has been created by the system itself. And all they can do is attack the other person. All they can do is attack the symptom rather than facing the actual problem, which is the system itself. And this happens right up and down the scale, folks. As I've often said, the people addressing the various problems around the planet, the wailing, the homelessness, the starvation, the wars, the pollution, these are all symptoms. They're all addressing symptoms rather than addressing the problem. And it's the same when people are having stuff with the people around them. They're addressing the symptom rather than the problem. Because the person around them that they believe may have wronged them is simply disconnected from reality. And if they're having stuff with that person because they believe they've been wronged by someone, then they're having a disconnection with reality as well. That's the problem, folks. Because if they weren't disconnected from reality, they would understand that the person who wronged them did so because of this system itself. And that the only way to heal that wrong is through forgiveness. I've often said, folks, that the stuff that binds the matrix together, the stuff that binds reality to itself, the very fabric that makes up matter, is compassion. And that your interface with that fabric is empathy. And until people can stand in that, nothing will ever change. And ultimately, it comes up to the individual. It comes up to you standing in this power yourself and projecting that energy into the field around you. And in order to do that, all you have to do is know what reality is and understand who and what you are. Well, that's about it for me for the day, folks. Thank you very much for listening to the show today. Thank you for continuing to visit thecrowhouse.com. thank you for all your kind letters and support that you've shown me. It's been a pleasure speaking to you again today, and I will look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take care until then, and remember that real change comes from within. In La Cache.